This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Perpetually standing in the breach and always ready to stay in the fight. Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. Presented by AR-500 Armor. The Armored Republic cometh. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. And it's Wednesday, so that means that... We know somebody came back into the country, but he got sick. So we're going to do Arbalest Quarrel again with Roger Katz and I, just me and Roger, because Steve is somewhere being sick right now, right? Joining me now is Roger Katz.
Good evening, Bill. Yeah, Stephen, unfortunately, came back under the weather. A four-week stint in China.
Right.
He and his wife, they are getting better, but they came back with some kind of bug. And clearly, when you're dealing with people all around the world, there's likely going to be some kind of horrific bug out there. And so that's what he came back with. But he is raring to go next week, and he'll okay. have plenty to talk about.
So tonight I'm going to bounce some stuff off Roger that has always bothered me about anti-gunners and some of the stuff they put up with, and just get his take, because he is a is it fair to call you a legal scholar?
I'm certainly an academician. I'd like to think that I have some experience and knowledge of the law, especially that of the Second Amendment and
right.
constitutional law. But I'm not going to put myself up there with the bigwigs in the ivory towers of Yale Law School and Harvard.
That,
but
that probably makes you a legal scholar, because the ones that do that do that all the time. Did you know I'm a legal scholar? No, I didn't. I can't even tell by what you're writing, because you seem like an idiot. So you don't do that. You don't claim that. So
I'm more modest, Bill.
I know. I understand.
You know that.
Yes, I do. So my first question, and I don't mean any of these facetiously. This is just me operating as a former soldier turned radio host who just happens to make my topic the Second Amendment. Isn't all gun control redundant? Isn't it a backdrop to other things that are already illegal? It's already illegal to assault people. It's illegal to kill people. When they start tacking all this other stuff on because it involves a gun, is that actually becoming redundant?
Well, there is an argument to be made on that score. But to the extent that, of course, the courts would argue and attorneys would argue that nothing is redundant unless it's a...
Did we lose Roger? Did we lose Roger? Yeah, I think we lost him. Yeah, we lost Roger. That's like the classic, you know, when Lucy shot JR in Dallas. You know, JR, we went for, what, a year or summer without knowing who shot JR, and we were getting to the high point right there, that moment, that climactic point with Roger where he was going to tell us one thing that I've been waiting to hear from somebody, and now he's gone. I'm sure we're trying to get him. Okay.
Yeah, Bill, did I lose you, or you lost me?
We were right at the moment when JR gets shot, you know, so that's, so you were about to tell me about lawyers and judges and everything. Go ahead and tell me that.
Yeah, basically, when we're looking at particular laws governing rightful conduct or bad conduct, that's already in the criminal code. A person doesn't have to be told that, yes, it's wrong to harm another person. Obviously, if a person has a firearm, or for that matter, a baseball bat, he or she knows that it's against the law to use that on a person unless there is really a an assault on one's physical well-being. And even then, when you're dealing with firearms, knowing that it's a matter of deadly force, an individual has to be more mindful and basically walk away, if possible, from any threat. And I believe that the vast majority of individuals that have carry permits are in that category. They're not going to be looking for trouble, and they will be backing away from it. So that what you hear in the news, an individual is more likely to get hot off the handle and start waving a gun around and more likely to engage in violence simply because he can. That's absolutely false. You and I know that, and I'm sure most of your audience, if not all of your audience, knows that. But at any rate, that's the narrative that's definitely claimed. Nonetheless, the problem that we're really getting into is more of a philosophical one, and it has to do with whether an individual can be presumed to have the wherewithal to conduct themselves properly. And
the question more to the point for me is if I kill somebody by beating him to death with a brick, or I kill somebody shooting them with a gun, have I committed more of a crime using a gun than I did with a brick in the eyes of the law nowadays? Have they layered it up so much nowadays? That's what I mean by redundant. Philosophically, I already know where that falls.
Yeah. Well, from that perspective, yes, that's a good point. In fact, you see that. I've seen it in New York. And let me give you a story. In New York, people are basically conditioned, let's say, to be afraid, to not engage themselves in any kind of altercation. And there have been instances where the public would basically stand mute and witness a beating going on by one person against another. Stephen had talked to me about this in China. He says in China, an individual that is causing an assault would be rushed by the populace. But in New York, people stand mute. Not that they are inclined to like to watch someone being beaten, but simply that they're afraid. And then you have the mayor and governor saying, well, how is it that people in New York can just stand by, idly by, while someone is being assaulted? And yet, if you look at the mechanism, so suppose someone had a carry permit, which is few and far between in New York. And let's say that that person did shoot this individual who was assaulting an innocent individual. That's going to raise all kinds of problems. First of all, if in fact that was a valid permit, the gun would be immediately confiscated by the police. The license would be suspended. There would be a criminal investigation. And it goes to the idea that the mechanism that you use, at least in certain jurisdictions like New Jersey, in New York, in California, Hawaii, you know which ones, would be inclined to say, well, yes, you can defend yourself, you can defend another, but the means that you use, we don't like guns, so best that you don't use them. Maybe you can use a knife instead. But then we saw in Britain.
Let me get you to hang on right there. We're coming up on the break. I want to get to Britain and the knife crime and everything else. Arbella Squarle, you can find their writings at arbellasquarle.com, at featured writers at amoland.com, and right here on Wednesday evenings, this is Lock and Load.
of Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock? Everyone. Crack stock? Back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood Gun Stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
DTWS Arms is the evolution of the AR-15. Veteran-owned and operated, this is the 21st century rendition of Eugene Stoner's creation, crafted for the front line, but designed for the aficionado. DTWS Arms is 100% made in the USA, built by rough men who have become craftsmen. Upgraded billet technology design is lethal art with reliability and beauty at the forefront. To order, go to our new website at DTWSArms.com.
DTWS Arms, this is the nature of the beast.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Coming to you live from the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. This hour, we are talking to Arbalest Quarrel. I'm bouncing some stuff off of him tonight because it's my turn. It's my turn to be bouncing stuff off. I'm joined by Roger Katz from Arbalest Quarrel. Now, we were just getting to the point to where it was better to... It's better to stab somebody than to shoot somebody. I guess is that the proposition they're actually setting the law up to say?
Well, that would be the proposition where there is a plethora of guns about, according to the anti-gun people.
Uh-huh.
But obviously, in Britain, you don't have that situation. Guns have essentially been banned wholesale. So what do people carry with them for self-defense? Well, a knife. Apparently, there aren't that many laws in Britain regarding that. But obviously, there was a situation where what happens? Criminals start knifing people. And what does the London mayor, the Sadiq Khan, want to do? He wants to have a crackdown on knives. Because no one, no decent individual should ever be carrying a knife. He must have in mind, I guess, the old story of Jack the Ripper, who notoriously ran amok in London in the latter part of the 19th century. But to say that knives are perfectly legal in New York, in this country is not precisely true. Obviously, in New York, if you look at the penal code, there are knives that are illegal. For example, so-called switchblades and those knives that would fall under the nomenclature of gravity knives, which would include, for example, butterfly knives. The problem there, of course, is what constitutes a gravity knife? If it's easy enough to flick out a blade from the shaft, then supposedly that's a gravity knife. But what we're really talking about here is control. It all comes down to a basic distinction between two incompatible philosophies of Western civilization. And one has it that the public, the power of government belongs to the people. And our whole Constitution resides on that. And the idea being that people are basically responsible until they show themselves not to be. And that's where our criminal code comes along. In Britain, that's not really true because they don't have a history of constitutional government. It really goes back to the kings and queens and nobility and royalty. And only in a latter day England would you see some change. But even so, those that belong to Britain are construed as subjects of the Queen. In this country, no one would really ever talk about themselves as a subject, though the way we are going toward the idea of the left, which is the idea that people basically cannot be trusted. They need to be controlled for their own good and for the good of society. And I think that probably, in a nutshell, really explains the mechanism, the basis for all the draconian gun registration and gun restrictions that we have throughout the country in the various states and also as we see in the federal government.
Such an answer. You know, the thing that bothers me the most about it is that, you know, here in South Carolina recently, we had a mass murder where a guy came into a house. He was a relative and he bludgeoned 4 or 5 or 6 of his relatives to death. I don't remember how many it was, but I mean, it was the same sort of count, a body count that you would find in a mass murder or mass rampage murder. And it got no press at all because he didn't use a gun.
And there you have it. The fact that he was a crazed individual and the individuals he killed are no less dead than they would be if he had used a gun. That particular mechanism whether it's a knife, he bludgeoned them to death. He did not use a gun, so it doesn't fit the narrative. They don't want to hear about it. Wasn't there a recent shooting, as a matter of fact, in YouTube? A woman went into YouTube,
yeah.
And she had a handgun, and she was upset because I think YouTube is part of Google, part of their, I guess, the holding company's Alphabet. But at any rate, for whatever reason, we see that more and more now, Google or YouTube decided to curtail some of her videos. She got upset about that and decided to pay YouTube officials a visit and yep. give them some of her payback. And she ended up killing herself. I think she wounded a few people. But the incident received very little press coverage. Now, obviously, a gun was involved, but the MO was strange. It was a woman, not a man. And today we hear, well, women are often treated as still, apparently, according to the left, as second-class citizens. So if they get upset, it's understandable. And so there was very little press coverage about that. Not at all like what we saw with the Parkland, Florida incident, which was precisely the kind of thing that fits into the narrative, as did Las Vegas. A lone wolf, supposedly, with a number of so-called assault weapons and taking out his vengeance on the populace. And the answer, of course, is... they want to take away my gun and your gun, and then the country will be safe.
Well, that's what they say anyway, right? If they just get that next one. If they just get that next one. Now, when we come back, I want to ask you what your opinion is of the way we actually enforce the gun laws that we have on the books today.
Sure.
Simply because... I don't think we're enforcing them very well, but that's all beside the point. My guest is Roger Katz. He is from Arbalest Squirrel. You can catch his stuff at ArbalestSquirrel.com, at Ammoland.com, and right here on Wednesday nights with me. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Today, weapons and optics are built tough, but they have to remain dialed in. Enter Air Armor Tech. Created to protect the $500,000 helmet of the F-35 Lightning II aircraft, Air Armor Tech can likewise protect your weapons during transport. Under pressure, air is uncompromising. Rigid or collapsible using the power of inflation or deflation. High tech and elemental. To learn more, go to airarmortech.com. Air Armor Tech. Protective. Lightweight. These are military-grade inflatable cases. DTWS Arms is the evolution of the AR-15. Veteran-owned and operated, this is the 21st century rendition of Eugene Stoner's creation. Crafted for the front line, but designed for the aficionado, DTWS Arms is 100% made in the USA, built by rough men who have become craftsmen. Upgraded billet technology design is lethal art, with reliability and beauty at the forefront. To order, go to our new website at DTWSArms.com.
DTWS Arms, this is the nature of the beast.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio. This is Lock and Load. I am talking to Roger Katz of Arbalest Quarrel. Roger, what do we have? 22, 23,000 gun laws on the books, all regulating. Do they actually regulate guns, or is it about penalties, or is it both? They're regulating guns and penalties if you misuse them.
Let's consider the paradigm. If we were to draw a horizontal and vertical axis on one axis, let's say, call it the horizontal, you've got weak gun laws versus strong gun laws. And on the other axis, the vertical, let's say you have weak enforcement versus strong enforcement. Obviously the anti-gun people would argue that, we just need more and more, gun laws to the point that, once we ban guns, altogether, then there won't be any crime with guns. Well, obviously there will be because, we talk about, guns that are, criminals get on the black market, which is where they get most of them, not at gun shows and not at dealers. And the NRA is right about that. But you have to consider also the kinds of gun laws that we have, because where you're dealing with your garden variety criminal, basically the gun charge is oftentimes just dismissed. And the prosecutors will go after an individual on more serious charges. So you would think that a gun in the hands of a criminal with a potentially use it would be serious enough. And I think in Richmond, Virginia, one time they once had a law, or maybe the anti-gun people thought it was too draconian because they want to protect the criminal. But they basically would say, you have an illegal gun, you're going to get 5 years or 10 years just on that charge alone. And I think that would go a long way to curbing some of the violence that certainly the garden variety, the type of common criminal who maybe psychopathic, but not schizophrenic. I shouldn't even say that, because there's plenty of people that are schizophrenic that are not violent, that even if they had a gun and they were taking their medicines, they would not go off on a shooting spree. So psychiatrists really don't know what is the motivation. In fact, I think the argument, I know I've talked about it, that between the so-called sane population in this country and the ones that would be clinically psychotic, the danger of gun crimes would be probably about the same, if not less, on the part of the psychotics. But again, going back to the issue of the kind of stronger gun laws that are enforced, you're familiar with the Lautenberg Amendment. This was created, in the early or mid-90s? And right. It was to basically go hard on individuals that are convicted of domestic violence. And generally in this case, it could be as minor as an individual slapping a girlfriend across the face. They get into an altercation. She calls up the police and they see that he has guns. They confiscate them. He's convicted of a misdemeanor. And it is a misdemeanor, not a felony conviction, let's say, and he loses his firearm. So when we look at enforcement, you have to look at it from the standpoint of who is it in the public that wants these gun laws enforced. Well, obviously, you and I would say, look, if you're dealing with criminals and psychotics that commit crimes of guns, then those laws should be enforced. We don't want to dismiss out the gun penalty. If anything, the gun penalty should be as stringent as, let's say, the robbery. I mean, there is armed robbery, for example, in many jurisdictions, if not all of them. And that should require a maximum sentence. But what we often see is that the anti-gun groups, including anti-gun legislators, the mainstream media, the internationalist benefactors, they're not concerned about the common criminal, because even though in this society there's quite a few, there's still substantially less, a fraction of the number of law-abiding, average, sane, rational American citizens who have guns. That is their concern. And if you're looking at domestic violence, oftentimes it is just this same rational, law-abiding citizen that has an altercation with a girlfriend or a wife, and an anti-gun court would look to maximizing the penalty against that individual. So when we look at weak gun laws versus strong gun laws, we have to really consider what are the stakes, what side of the political spectrum do those that would encourage more laws or less or fewer laws or stronger enforced laws or weaker enforced laws, where are they? And I think we can come up, I believe, with one primary principle, and it's the idea of the leftists in this country that, again, as I said earlier, believes that the greater threat to societal order comes from the average citizen. The average citizen who could conceivably, possibly, to use Comey's words, possibly go off the deep end. And they want to control his or her actions. They're not concerned about the criminal. And that's why we see the frustration that the NRA has in a lot of law-abiding citizens, that when one lunatic goes off half-cocked or some gangbanger shoots up a mall, that the answer is, well, we need stronger gun laws restricting the average person from having a gun. And they'll look at the type of guns, They'll look at the circumstances. They'll say, well, you don't need a so-called assault weapon. No one does. You don't need this gun. You don't need that gun. In D.C., prior to Heller, you didn't need a handgun. So what kind of gun is acceptable? I heard on the radio once an individual who claims to be supportive of a Second Amendment says, oh, I'm against assault weapons. In my house, I have a shotgun. A shotgun is okay, but an assault weapon, oh no. Well, a shotgun actually is a very good a defensive weapon. I'm not an expert on firearms. I try to know as much as I need to know if I'm going to be talking about it at all. But this woman obviously made the argument only because she happened to have a shotgun, and she didn't want that taken away from her. And she happened to have a so-called assault weapon, AR-15 model weapon, then she might think differently. As it turns out, that those firearms are used by billions of law-abiding citizens for defensive purposes.
And, let me get a hold right there. We're coming up on the next break, and we'll continue this when we get back. Just bouncing, you know, the legal questions I have that I never get to ask anybody. Doing that with Roger Katz from Arbalest Quarrel. You can catch the stuff that he writes at arbalestquarrel.com. You can catch him where he's a featured writer at ammoland.com and right here on Wednesday night. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
normal blood pressure naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
From the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. I am talking to Roger Katz from ArborlistQuarrel.com as he one more week sits in while Steven recuperates now that he's done traveling and having a good time and he's out somewhere. But I digress. Isn't that sort of, don't you like just sort of sit there, Roger, and go, you know, I've been holding this down for a month while you've been gone, Kat, and you get back here and you're sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
he's probably
what he's doing is contemplating his next trip, probably somewhere in the Caribbean to recuperate.
Yeah, I guess if you got it that way, that's the way to be, right? Retired and... Retired with a well broken in passport. So
right. Yeah. He does his educational thing in China and Europe, and then he gets sick, and then he goes to the Caribbean to a little R&R.
I think everybody should do that at least once. So anyway, where were we?
Well, I did want to talk a little bit about this latest case that came down the pike a few days ago, this Warman versus Healy. It's another assault weapons case, and it goes back to what I was saying, that either Colby versus Hogan or Friedman versus Highland Park, which were both so-called assault weapons cases. These should have gone up. The Supreme Court should have heard either one of those. And we know that Scalia, when he was alive, and Thomas were livid that neither one of these cases would be taken up. And here we have another one. And it's curious. You know, I have to say this. When we're dealing with lay people, that is non-lawyers, the average person, what they hear on the news, they're going to probably hit the New York Times or the Washington Post, or if they catch the news on TV, they'll go to CNN or MSNBC, and then they'll hear what they think is gospel regarding the whys and wherefores of the Second Amendment and firearms. And what assault weapons are and what they're not, and who should have them and who shouldn't. And you could excuse lay people, but I think it's inexcusable and unforgivable when you have the courts that actually play the same kind of game and think that they're hiding behind legalese. And they're not, because it's clear in this particular case, which is simply the latest of a string of cases, no doubt it'll go up to the Supreme Court and a writ of certiorari, and the court again will fail to get the obligatory 4 votes necessary to hear the case. And it's very interesting when I look at the very first sentence of the first paragraph. And this was a case that was decided by a district court, U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts. They say, for most of our history, mainstream scholarship considered the Second Amendment as nothing more than a guarantee that the several states can maintain well-regulated militias. And then they cite to, the court cites the Lawrence Tribe, who is a prolific writer, but definitely a liberal, and he had his own opinions regarding the Second Amendment, and there was a couple others. But actually, if you look at most of the articles, most scholars realize that it's very simplistic to say that the militia clause is the be-all and end-all and the full meaning of the Second Amendment. And what was clear, and certainly by the time Heller came out, Scalia stated what all of us already knew, was that the militia is basically who? It's every man, I would include now women, that are able-bodied, rational individuals in society. And it is they who are the militia. And this was the unorganized militia, which is still people, the left doesn't want to admit it. They'll talk about the organized militia, mainly the National Guard, which is really an adjunct, essentially, of the federal government, is that basically we need the unorganized militia to protect the country against harm from outside the country, but also to protect the country against tyranny. And that's something that we're not supposed to talk about. And even Scalia, if you read the Heller decision, they talk about tyranny. And the term comes up here and there, but they don't really talk about it that much. The weight of the individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is the idea of self-defense, which is really tacit. It doesn't have to be stated. And they didn't really want to get into the tyranny issue, obviously, because Scalia and Thomas and Alito knew that they had to get Kennedy on board and Roberts as well. And there might have been a problem if they went overboard on that. But at any rate, you've got this case, and they go on and on, and they pick and choose what they want from the Heller decision. And they'll say, oh, well, Scalia never said that that the right to keep and bear arms means that an individual can keep and carry whatever weapon they want and whatsoever manner they want. But that really begs the question, so which firearms can a person carry? And one of the central issues in that case was whether assault weapons fall within the core of the Second Amendment, and predicated on the idea that they're in common use. Well, that's really the only standard that exists in Heller. And by that standard alone, it is clear, and we know from reading the dissent to the failure to take up the Friedman case by the Supreme Court, that Thomas said, well, it's very clear to him that semi-automatic weapons that are often defined by many state courts as assault weapons do fall within the core of the Second Amendment. And those would definitely be protected. And it's not even clear, too, when we say, well, even if they're weapons of war, the fact of the matter is that if you look at the plain meaning of the Second Amendment, is that the weapons that individuals would keep and bear would be the kinds of weapons that they would take with them cure.
Right.
And that's not to say that, that an individual is going to be carrying a flamethrower. That's not a typical kind of weapon, not today. And I'm sure there were various kinds of weapons that existed back in the time of the founding of our republic that would not be considered, that would be considered, let's say, atypical. But then they go on and say, too, well, what about muskets? Well, look, you've got the Heller case, and then you had Catano, and very clearly that you look at the weapons that are in common use at the time. But whenever you look at the court opinions, and then you look at the public, they say, well, a person can carry a musket if they want. But then again, if they know anything about muskets, just imagine the amount of fire alarms you would hear when black powder goes off in houses. It's mind-boggling, the nonsense that is spouted and is reiterated by the mainstream media and then picked up by the courts, which, I find particularly reprehensible. So
I'm going to have to remember, we're coming up on the end of the hour, I'm going to have to remember to ask you a question next week regarding George Mason, the Dick Act, and the militias, just simply because you were talking about that, and I want to ask you about that one. So, sure. Arbalest Quarrel, you can find what Roger writes at arbalestquarrel.com. You can find some of the stuff that Roger writes on arbalestquarrel.com, at amoland.com, and on Wednesday nights, especially when Steven's out of town, you can catch him right here. Thank you for joining me this evening, Roger.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Anytime.
All right. We got hour number two coming up. We're going to be right back. Third hour is going to be quite a treat because we're going to be joined by Lincoln Osiris of Pipe Hitters Union and Jeff Kyle. Think about that name, Jeff Kyle. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
The Roman Legions, the Samurai, and the Knights of the Round Table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor's leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.